grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this word of God, just so Jesus says, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Joy among the angels of God. Just one sinner who repents and is restored to his or her place in the family of God. There's an old song, maybe some of you remember it. It was recorded by Three Dog Night. One is the loneliest number. I was looking at this gospel reading this week and got to thinking about that one sheep, that one coin. And that old song popped into my mind, one is the loneliest number. But it inspired a little bit of a twist for my sermon title today, one is the loveliest number, because one is the number of sheep that the shepherd leaves the 99 others to seek out, and when it is found, causes him so much rejoicing that he brings everybody together, all his friends, to celebrate. And one is the number of the lost coins that the woman finds after her diligent search. And it gives so much joy to her that she too invites friends and neighbors to come over and rejoice with her. One is the number of lost souls that God seeks. And when that soul is found, oh, it causes joy among the angels. Just one sinner who repents and is restored to his or her place in God's family, in the sight of God. One is the loveliest number. I think one of the biggest temptations that churches and pastors face is an obsession with numbers. How many are in the pews? How many new members? How many transfers in, out? How much money is in the offering plate? It always seems to be about numbers. Always talking about numbers. And of course, bigger numbers are better. 1,000 people in worship. $1 million of offerings for the year. Those are the loveliest kinds of numbers. Numbers that measure success. I mean, look at the churches across town. They're getting numbers. Of course, so many churches to do that will de-emphasize the cross and the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. They will gloss over the subject of sin and soft pedal God's law, mute His gospel, but hey, it works. So why don't we do a little more of what they do? Because success in ministry is not about numbers. It's about one soul that hears the truth and repents. And I'm not going to bashing numbers. It's not that numbers can't be a good thing or that we should pay them no heed at all. Goodness, the book of Acts has lots of numbers in it. 3,000 believers that were added to the church on the day of Pentecost and 5,000 more believers in another instance. The Bible even has a book called Numbers, in which God commanded that a census be taken of Israel, because numbers can show us that the hand of God is blessing us. But numbers can also tempt us to look to them as the supreme measure of what is good or whether something is working. And they tempt us to pursue them as the primary aim, our primary goal, even at the cost possibly of being faithful. Maybe you remember how an obsession with numbers got King David into trouble one time. Instead of trusting God in his preparations for war, he decided that he needed to know how many fighting men were available to him in Israel. So he took a census, which God had commanded not to do, but he did it because he wanted to know how many fighting men are available to me. And because he did it, the Lord sent a plague that killed 70,000 of the very men he was trying to count. Numbers became more important to David than faithfulness. And David failed. And remember how Jesus was being followed by huge numbers of people. And you would say, well, he's a smashing success. But Jesus didn't care about numbers. That wasn't his concern. He was concerned to be faithful to God and to save sinners. So he preached the word of God that the people needed. Not what they wanted to hear. Not the word that would pack the pews or fill the coffers. He preached what they needed to hear. And if you recall, this is John chapter 6. His preaching offended the crowds and drove away many of those numbers of people that had been following him. That's right. Jesus lost numbers. And yet we would never say that his ministry failed, because preaching the truth, worshiping the truth, calling sinners to repentance is more important than numbers. And if by preaching the truth, 1,000 people are offended, but one solitary lamb is found for the kingdom of God, that is success. Success that makes the angels rejoice. And we're never told that the angels in heaven rejoice over 1,000 people in the pews. But they do rejoice over one sinner who repents. One lamb that is restored to the flock. One golden soul that is found. Because in heaven, one is the loveliest number. And what is so comforting for us today in our gospel reading is that our Lord is not obsessed with numbers like we are. He is obsessed with us, you. And he's consumed with love for the one, just you. He would even leave the 99 behind and make that difficult journey, even put his own life on the line to go and find the one, just that single sheep. And he is filled with supreme joy when that one lost sheep is found and comes back to the flock. Well, of course, the Pharisees grumbled at Jesus welcoming and eating with sinners, these least favored people, these wayward sheep. Did you notice in this gospel reading, these Pharisees were not even respectful enough to speak Jesus' name? They said, this fella, this guy. That's the sense of it in the Greek. This is a put down. This is derogatory. This fella is hobnobbing with sinners. But what they meant as a criticism is in fact the loveliest truth. Jesus, we sang it, Jesus sinners doth receive. That's what he said. I come to seek and to save the lost, to reach out for them, to find them one by one, to appeal to them to come to him, to find in him the forgiveness of their sins, adoption as sons in the family of God, new life and eternal joy. So he tells these parables in contrast to those who look down their noses at sinners. Christ seeks them out as that shepherd who is looking for the one lost sheep, or the woman who is looking for that one lost coin. And he would even leave the splendor of heaven to find you. Yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. But he so loved you that he sought you and he found you. And he claimed you and baptized you and redeemed you. Every single person is important to Jesus. You are so much more than just a number in God's sight. More precious than all the gold coins of this earth. You are the one he seeks and loves. And if you had been the only sinner in the world, He would have done it for you. He'd have gone to the cross for you, just for you. God's love for you is that radical, absurd really to our way of thinking. But what a happy day for Him when He finds just that one. And when, as Isaiah the prophet said, He can gather that lamb into His arms and carry it close to His heart. This fella, this guy, welcomes sinners and He eats with them. Well, thanks be to God that the Pharisees were spot on correct about that. Jesus is constantly welcoming and eating with sinners, even to this day. Every time He calls us to His altar and feeds us at His table, that's what He's doing. You ever think about that? Think about that the next time you come to His table. He welcomes the likes of us and dines with us and is filled with joy that you, just you, are at His table. You are part of His flock. I grew up in a family of eight. Our parents, and then came the three boys, and then came the three girls. Should have stopped after the boys, I always said. I love my sisters. But every summer, the eight of us would make our annual pilgrimage down to Missouri, St. Louis, to see my grandma on my dad's side, and then on to Concordia, Missouri, to see my grandma and grandpa Ziegelbein on my mom's side. Well, one year, we were on the way to St. Louis, and we stopped in Hannibal, Missouri, as we always did on this trip, to get gas and for a restroom break, and then we would get a bite to eat at Fern's restaurant. I remember that restaurant so well because there was a young lady in the Fern family that worked at the restaurant that I always had a crush on. So we were taking care of all of that business, and we all packed back up into the station wagon. Dad would say, "Is everybody here?" And we all say, "Yeah, we're here." And off we went, south on Highway 61, looking forward to seeing Grandma. When maybe 3-4 miles down the road, the cry went up. "Where's Beth?" This is the fun of, you know, growing up in a little larger family. Whether it's 5 kids or 6 kids in the car, does it really make that big of a difference? 5 is close to 6. 83% of the family was there. If you want to talk about numbers, that's a pretty good number. I think as siblings, we were like little Pharisees, you know. We could understand that Dad and Mom cared for us and loved us and favored us, but Beth, my little sister, 83%, that's a pretty good number. But apparently for my parents, it wasn't about numbers. Now, I don't remember all the details of everything that was said in the car that day, but you can imagine Dad must have looked at Mom with a voice that was half panicked and half accusing, "Where's Beth?" And Mom fires back, "I thought you made sure they were all in the car." Meanwhile, Dad is turning around right in the middle of Highway 61. "I guess we're going to have to go back and get my sister at Fern's restaurant. Because I guess to Mom and Dad, it's not about numbers. It's about just that one. I guess my little sister is kind of precious, kind of special, and she is loved." So we went back and we found her. I don't know, she had been dawdling in the restroom or something. By now, the manager of the restaurant had her safely under his wings, waiting for us to return and get her. And there was reunion, and the family was complete, and there was joy. Oh, there was joy over just that one that was found and restored to her place in the family. Numbers have their place. But we can't be obsessed about them. The first and the most important thing is to be sure that God's Word, in all of its truth and purity, is always proclaimed within these sacred walls. Not words that people want to hear, words that will pack the pews or fill the coffers or bring in the crowds, but words that save sinners. The only words, the words of God that find and rescue individuals and restore them one by one to the Lord's flock in true and repentant faith. Because that is the true measure of a church's success. Because in heaven, one is the loveliest number. Yes, the one that you're thinking about right now. That one who has wandered away. That one who is hurting or maybe has been offended. That one who is lost. That one. You are not just a number and neither are they. You are valuable beyond all measure and so are they. Even worth dying for, says Jesus. In the hymn, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is," we sing these words. "Perverse and foolish oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me." May you be convinced by the living Word of God that that verse is true for you. Just you. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.